Before we do anything else, I just want to bring the word that's upon my heart right now. So let's just pray. And Father, we just thank you for the Bible. We thank you for the word of God. And Lord, you're doing something here. I could just sense, Lord, that you're working in people's hearts right from the start of this service. You're ambushing us today. And Lord, we just pray for our hearts to be open to receive your word. And Lord, we pray, Lord, we'll be able to concentrate today and receive your word in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Last night, Rochelle and I watched the YouTube funeral of Billy Graham. Billy Graham recently passed away, and his funeral was yesterday. Of course, it gets a bit confusing with the American time, Australian time. But it was loaded up onto YouTube, and the whole thing goes for about 6 hours. A lot of it's just waiting around, standing around. So Rochelle and I watched the first 3 hours last night. And it was good. And Rochelle's brother Paul and his wife got invited to the funeral. How about that? That's interesting. So we largely watched it because we were waiting for 3 hours to see if we could see her brother Paul. And we did. Twice like that. But it was good. It was good. But I just got Billy Graham. He died at the age of 99, and we know what a mighty man of God he was. By the way, if you've never listened to a sermon of Billy Graham's, you know, I'd heard a lot about Billy Graham growing up. And then one day I thought, I'm going to listen to one of his sermons. And I'm telling you, it was amazing. I found it on YouTube or something. What a preacher. He the preacher of the gospel, he was one of the best I've ever heard. So if you know you want to do something other than watch TV this week, look up Billy Graham's preaching. Amen. But he passed away recently. And I've just got a little thing here, his final words that he said, his final public words. And I thought it would be good just to read out what his final words were at the age of 99. Would you like me to read it out to you? He said this, Billy Graham says, I've been praying that we may have a spiritual awakening. That was to America. We need it. But I think that becomes possible only as individuals surrender their lives afresh and anew to Christ and live the Christian life wherever you are. First, we do everything we can to follow in the steps of Jesus. We're to live a life in which we love one another, we help one another, and we live according to what Jesus lived. The Holy Spirit is the one that helps us to live the new lifestyle, which is one of love, gentleness, and patience, and all of these things that are the fruit of the Spirit. And Billy Graham continued, and he says, secondly, you read his word every day, the Bible. I know it's very difficult, he said, but you need to start somewhere, and I suggest you start with the Gospel of Luke in the New Testament, and in the Old Testament, start with the very first verse, in the beginning, God. Now study those passages. And then he said this, and this is what really caught my eye, and the third thing is you need to go to your knees and pray until you and God have become intimate friends. And then he says, I cannot describe to you the joy and the peace that he gives to you as a result of that daily routine that you have in prayer. They were Billy Graham's final words, public words. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. So I just want to talk about a subject. I don't know if I've ever spoken about this subject before, but I want to just begin by saying we're on the verge of, God wants to do something fresh and new here at Real Life Church. It's really been upon my heart. And I'm calling all of us, and I don't think I've done this before like this. If I have, I've forgotten. But I'm calling all of us, a church, to 21 days of prayer and fasting, starting next Sunday, the 11th of March, and then we conclude on Sunday, the 31st of March. That's Easter weekend, the Saturday. So you've got the Good Friday, then the Saturday we conclude then, and then you can eat all the Easter eggs you want on Sunday. Amen. But I'm calling us to 21 days of prayer and fasting, and I just don't know how to express how this is so important. And so I'm just saying from the bottom of my heart, I'm asking you, everybody, just to buy into this. Just buy into this season of prayer and fasting. And even if you don't fully understand what it all means or what it's all about, just buy into it as best as you can. And perhaps for you, this day or this season of prayer and fasting for 21 days, it could be the most important 3 weeks of your life, of this year. You can lay a foundation for an incredible year as we enter into this 21 days of prayer and fasting. And so this is really a big deal. I just want to stress that this is not a gimmick. It's a big deal. And so today, just for a little while, I want to explain what prayer and fasting is all about and what it looks like. What does it actually look like? and why we seriously need to do 21 days of prayer and fasting. Amen? So just for a few minutes, I want to begin by just telling you or talking about an extraordinary story that you can read later yourselves when you go home. And it's from chapter 10 in the book of Daniel. And the book of Daniel, if you're not familiar with it, is found in the Old Testament of the Bible. Really interesting book to read, by the way. Daniel, if you're not familiar with him, he was a man who lived about 530 years before the birth of Jesus Christ. He was a Jewish man, and he followed God with all of his heart. Amen. As a child, he had great trauma in his life, because as a child, his parents were killed, and he and his friends were carried away from their homeland to Babylon, which was a long way away. To get there, they had to travel through the distance, a desert, and they went as prisoners. And this happened during a time of war. Later, Babylon itself became part of the great Persian Empire. So Daniel, though he suffered this trauma, he grew up in a foreign land that did not follow God, a little bit like Australia. Sometimes he thought he was the only one following God. Sometimes you do too, huh? You know, so Daniel grew up in a foreign land where God was not honored, yet Daniel, against all odds, still continued to wholeheartedly follow the Lord his God. And God blessed him for it. And God will bless you as well. Those who honor the Lord honors them. And so God blessed him, and God gave to Daniel great administrative skills, outstanding administrative skills, and also an ability to interpret dreams. That was really a big deal. Then eventually the emperor, very powerful man, came to know about Daniel, and he promoted him to a high political office. He became a politician. In addition, Daniel gained a reputation as a man of extraordinary, outstanding wisdom and integrity. That's a good thing for Christians to be known as people with integrity. So Daniel's advice and his opinion, they actually were greatly valued within the Persian Empire. Daniel became a powerful and an influential man of his time, but everyone recognized that he's also a man who sought after God with all his heart. Then one day, and Daniel had done this several times, but one day Daniel decided to set extra time aside to seek after God. And that's what we're going to do. Now, Daniel already had a regular prayer routine that everybody in the empire knew about, because many years earlier he had been thrown into a den of lions and survived, and he was thrown in there because of his regular routine of praying to Almighty God. Everybody knew about that. That was a long time in his past. And here he is again saying, I need to seek God more. And so this time of seeking God was something extra, and it was special. He wanted to do this in addition to his normal times of prayer. He was just hungry for God. Or maybe he felt that his heart wasn't where it needed to be. Sometimes you've got to push into God, don't you? Everybody understand what I'm saying? Stir yourself up. And so he decided to pray, but he also decides to embark on a partial fast. A partial fast during this time of seeking and praying to God. And so during his season of prayer, Daniel, it's great to have two Daniels here today, by the way. Come on, Daniel, stand to your feet. Come on, come on. Just turn around. Stay standing. Is there any other Daniels here? Okay, you're the only Daniels. Yeah. Could we give him a big, throw him to the lions, did you say? Give him a big hand, yeah, great, wonderful. And as I'm preaching to you all, I do look at your faces from time to time. I can see these guys out of the corner of my eye paying real attention. And I don't know if it's because of the name Daniel in this story, but they're really switched on. It's good. But during this season of prayer, Daniel lived only, guys, on vegetables and water. And Daniel decided, you've got to remember, he was living almost like a king. He was pretty wealthy. He had the best of everything at this stage. Daniel decided to also cut out all of rich food, sugary food, cakes and that sort of stuff, breads. And he cut out meat as well. And he also stopped drinking wine and stuff like that. Just water. And so he embarked on this partial fast and a season of prayer for 3 weeks. And nothing actually much happened. You know, when you start seeking God, And when you start fasting, sometimes it can be really hard for the first few days. Nothing much seems to be happening. And you can think, why am I bothering? And I'm sure that happened to Daniel. But he continued to push in and touch God. And nothing happened as he prayed and he humbled himself before God until the 21st day. And it was on the 21st day that Daniel experienced a vision from God of an angel. And the angel was mighty. And the angel appeared as a man to Daniel. But even though the angel appeared as a man, Daniel was still overwhelmed by the presence of the angel that he collapsed and fainted in fear. I've always said to the Lord, ladies and gentlemen, if he wants to send me an angel, could the angel knock on the door first to give me warning? Amen. I can't handle these sudden appearances. I don't do that. Don't do that. Or send me an email. Oh, he's coming. I'm ready. So the angel, is, you can read about it in Daniel chapter, he had to help him up. And actually twice the angel reassured him to Daniel that you're precious to God. I want to say it to you, you're precious to God. You're precious to God. But even though the angel reassured him with kind, gentle words, Daniel still trembled in the presence of the angel. That's how overwhelming it was to stand in the presence of an angel. But this is where the story gets really interesting. And I've got the scripture on the screen there. It says in the Bible that the angel said to Daniel, let's just get this scripture up. There we go, slide 9, 7, thanks. It says this, don't be afraid. This is the angel speaking, Daniel. Since the first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your request has been heard in heaven. Next slide. I have come, the angel says, in answer to your prayer, but for 21 days the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. Then Michael, one of the archangels, came to help me. This is the angel speaking. And I left Michael there with the spirit prince of the king of Persia. Now I am here. Now I am here. This story from Daniel is one of several in the Bible that gives us a tiny glimpse of the spirit realm and its influence upon the world. Please note that when Daniel started on day one to pray and fast, God heard his prayer on day one. And God responded immediately and he sent his messenger angel. And that's really important. It was a messenger angel. Doesn't tell us his name. Could have been Gabriel, the same angel that appeared to Mary. Could have been. God then sent his messenger angel to Daniel with a response, a message. But this powerful messenger angel could not get through to Daniel. Something weird was going on. And that was because a powerful spirit blocked his way for 21 days. This weird, evil spirit being was called, and we just read it. He had a name. He was called the Spirit Prince of the Kingdom of Persia. Brothers and sisters, we should not dismiss the power of this creature as a light thing. It had such power that it stopped the messenger angel, who was also great in power. Everybody still with me? We need to talk about this. Then this messenger angel further explained that he was actually only able to get through to Daniel because the mighty archangel Michael came and helped him get through. And Michael is a warrior angel and he has great power. I'll say this, is that Michael's power is so strong he can go toe-to-toe with the devil all by himself. That's how powerful Michael is. Just thought I'd say that. It's actually true. So that means that while Daniel was praying and fasting, there was this great cosmic spiritual battle going on between spirit beings of immense power, and Daniel wasn't even aware that it was happening. He was blind, or he didn't know it was happening. And so it took 21 days to get a breakthrough and an answer from God to Daniel. And I wonder, everybody, I just wonder what influence Daniel's praying and fasting had upon the outcome of that battle between the angels of God and this spirit, prince of the kingdom of Persia. I wonder what would have happened in this story if Daniel had given up praying after 1 week. What if he said, well, nothing's happening, I might go and eat that nice piece of cake and forget about praying. You know, what would have happened if Daniel had given up after 2 weeks? How connected was Daniel's perseverance in prayer and fasting to the outcome of the battle that was raging in the spirit realm over Persia? I suggest very strongly that Daniel's prayer and fasting was the key to the outcome of that battle. Because, brothers and sisters, there is far more to prayer than what we realize. I'll say it again, you know, there's far more to prayer than what we realize. And this story, and I don't want to get spooky on anybody, I don't do spooky, all right? This story's there. And this story highlights the truth that the kingdoms, including Australia, nations, politics, philosophies, religions, and ideologies of our fallen world they're all heavily influenced by these evil spirit beings that cannot be seen with the natural eye. Right now, where we are, this is a tough area. I'm telling you, there's a lot of stuff going out there, and we just think, oh, people are just crazy. Let me tell you, there's more to what's going on than meets the eye. That's why Ephesians 6 verse 12 says, for we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, and we do that so often, don't we? But they're not our primary enemies. We're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world. And thank God that we can be clothed in the armor of God. Have you got your armor on today? Can you remember what it is? What can anybody say? What's part of our armor? Anybody? Helmet? What else? Yeah, what else? Soul of the Spirit, what else? Praise God, you're all speaking in tongues again, amen. You were just about there. You got the shoes of peace, gospel of peace, what else? Shield of faith, belt, or the girdle of truth, amen, amen. You're there, everybody, that's good. We could be clothed in the armor of God, and the armor of God wasn't actually available to Daniel back then. We got the armor of God because of Jesus Christ on the cross for us. Thank God also that we have another mighty weapon that Daniel did not have in his day that we can use against the enemy when we're praying. And today we have the mighty name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus. Amen. So we've got a significant advantage in spiritual warfare that Daniel did not have in his day. But that story is still applicable for us today as well. There's more to this world than what you see. And operating behind the scenes are evil spirits who are continually stirring up evil behavior and hostility towards anything that's good, pure, and whole, and clean. These evil spirits are opposed to God, and they're opposed to you. And they constantly lie about the truth. This spiritual reality is the reason why the world seems to be so crazy and why the world doesn't seem to make any sense. That's the reason why. And I think you all know what I'm talking about. And it's also the reason why that you often feel like you're swimming against the current. Whoever gets up in the morning and feels like, before you've even started, that you're already swimming against the current. It's just something intangible. You can't put your finger on, but why is it such an effort sometimes? And you feel like you're swimming against the current. Well, let me tell you, it's not just a feeling. You are swimming against the current. You belong to the kingdom of God. And we're living in a fallen world. It's not your imagination. And this spiritual reality also explains why intelligent people who can have university degrees and be really, really smart sometimes, how these intelligent people can embark on a path of destructive and stupid behavior and come up with the most ridiculous things about life that's just rubbish. Somebody was telling me some scientist has just decided that the moon, a scientist, was that right? Said that the moon came from an egg. This whole obsession of looking for aliens in outer space. How dumb can you be and still be able to breathe? I mean, seriously. But it's spiritual deception. And it is. People's minds get dulled and they become stupid. And this also explains why sometimes, you know, you can present the gospel as clear as day to somebody and they look at you and it just doesn't land. They just don't get it. And you feel like slapping them, don't you? Well, if I can't preach you into the kingdom, I'll slap you into the kingdom, amen. They just don't get it. And that's because their minds are being dulled by the evil spirits. That's why we need to intercede and pray. Amen? Amen. So therefore, in view of this situation that I've just described very briefly, that's why I'm calling us to 21 days of prayer and fasting. And just like Daniel needed a breakthrough, ladies and gentlemen, we need a breakthrough as well. And we want to be able to walk in the victory of what Christ has done for us. And I get it, and of course I understand we need to have our regular prayer times just like Daniel did. He had it together. But there are times when we need to have a special season of pushing into God and seeking His face for that greater breakthrough that seems to keep eluding us. You know what I'm talking about? And every one of us here today needs a breakthrough of some sort. Every one of us. You all need a breakthrough. I need a breakthrough. We need breakthroughs with our faith. We need breakthroughs with our relationships. We need breakthroughs with our kids. We need breakthroughs with our health. We need breakthroughs with temptation. We need breakthroughs with unhealthy habits. And as a church, we here at Real Life Church, we want to have a breakthrough here at Real Life Church and become the people that God's called us to be. You know, we don't want to be same-o, same-o. We don't want to be like this. Next year, we want to be a changed people. Amen? Amen? And sometimes we just need a breakthrough from having a cold heart towards God. Sometimes we just put up with so much rubbish in life, so many problems and stuff and the condition of our hearts, and then we adapt and we live with it and we accommodate it and it becomes part of who we are when there's so much more in God that God has for us. We need a breakthrough. The stuff that you're putting up with, it's time for a breakthrough to say no to that stuff in our lives anymore. And fasting and prayer breaks the yoke of bondage and brings about a release of God's presence, power, and provision. And we need, thank God for our musicians. Didn't they do a great job today, you know? We got a great building. We got great people. I understand all of that. But nothing of that, you know, that doesn't change people's lives. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. And Gosnells desperately needs a church on fire for the Lord. And not just us, but others too. Amen? You know. Now, the Bible has a great deal. There's got to be more to life than this. That's what I'm trying to say. There's got to be more to life. Come on. We need a breakthrough in Jesus' name. And the Bible has a great deal to say about prayer and fasting. By the way, I don't like prayer. I like prayer. I don't like fasting. Amen. So, you know. But the Bible is packed with many examples of people who prayed and fasted, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. But the question must be asked, why is fasting so important? What's the big deal? What's its purpose? You know, going without food or whatever. What has going without food got to do with prayer? What is that? And I think they're great questions, so thank you for asking them. But there are two key reasons. There's more, but there's two key reasons why fasting can make prayer powerful. First, and this is a really, actually quite a deep one. You might want to investigate this later. But throughout Scripture, God often links a physical action or a behavior with a spiritual behavior or outcome. For example, when we praise the Lord, the Bible exhorts us to clap our hands, to shout aloud. I do a lot of shouting, don't I? To sing and to lift our hands. And these are physical expressions with a powerful spiritual connection. Physical expressions with a powerful spiritual connection. And Far spoke about praise the other week so well, by the way. Water baptism
is a physical action with a spiritual connection. Communion, physical action with a spiritual connection. Tithing is a physical expression of a heart that puts God first. Physical expression of a spiritual connection. And it seems that physical behavior can have a spiritual connection. And fasting is a physical behavior that, when linked to prayer, produces power in the realm of the spirit, especially when seeking a breakthrough. That's number one. Number two, secondly, when you fast, you're humbling yourself before God. Remember, the angel said this. He said, "Don't be afraid, Daniel, since the first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before your God." Pray and humble yourself before your God. Daniel was on a fast, a partial fast of vegetables and water only. And God saw this diet behavior as Daniel's expression of humbling himself before God. God linked the two. Now, you know, we don't do humble very well in our culture. We don't do that. Humbling ourselves is just so counterintuitive to how we do life in the Western world. You know, our mantra is, it's all about me. We don't do humble very well, so this is hard to talk about. And the reason why we don't do humbling very well is because we've been told repeatedly how great and wonderful we are and how we need to be assertive. And consequently, we have a seriously distorted sense of our own place in the universe. But remember that Jesus did say this. He says, "When you obey me," Jesus said this, "you should say, we are unworthy servants who have simply done our duty." You know, we're his servants. It's not the other way around. We are his servants. He's not our servant. We need to remember that when we're praying. We are his servants. It's not the other way around. And we're not the center of the universe. God is the center of the universe. And our identity and our significance comes from him. So humbling ourselves before God is actually very, very powerful. It's actually psychologically healthy for you to do. Remember your place in the universe. God first. Now, food is a really big deal to us. Yeah. Yeah. Food is a really big deal to us. Obviously, we need food for survival. Of course we do. But we also, in our culture especially, we celebrate food. We've got all these food shows on TV. We delight in eating food that tastes wonderful. Amen. And, you know, there's nothing wrong in any of that. Actually, that's great. Food's wonderful. And that's all good. Also, our lives rotate around food. When you start fasting, you will notice, the first thing you will notice, other than the pain in your stomach, which will go, by the way, as you persevere, is how much your life rotates around meals. So when you fast, so food's a big deal. So when you fast, you are saying to God, "I'm giving up food, Almighty God, to express to you that you are more important to me than what I put in my mouth." That's what you're saying. You deny yourself. You subject your stomach to your will so that you can seek God. That's called humbling yourself before Almighty God. And it's bringing yourself into alignment with heaven's natural order. And God always responds to a humble heart. Always. I could think of, I've got examples flashing through my mind right now, even of wicked people who humbled themselves and God responded to them. So fasting, number one, is a physical expression with a spiritual connection. And fasting is a way to humble yourself before Almighty God. Amen? Amen. However, like everything else, you could pray and fast with the wrong motives. Concerning fasting, Jesus says, when you fast, don't make it obvious. Don't brag about it, as the hypocrites do, for they try to look miserable and disheveled so people admire them for their fasting. I tell you the truth, Jesus said, that is the only reward they will ever get. But when you fast, comb your hair, put on your deodorant, brush your teeth, especially when you're fasting, and wash your face. Then no one will notice that you're fasting except your Father, who knows what you do in private. Check this last line out. And your Father who sees everything will reward you. God the Father rewards your season of prayer and fasting when you do it with the right motives. We want that reward. Amen, everybody? So why should we fast and pray? It's because we desperately need a breakthrough. And only God can give us the breakthrough. And this 21 days of prayer and fasting is not about losing weight. It's not actually about, you know, detoxing and getting a healthy body. They are side benefits without a doubt. However, what this is all about is we need a breakthrough. And that's why we're doing this. We need to hear from God. Some of you haven't heard from God for yourself for years. You need to hear from God. You need to hear His voice speaking to your heart. Once again, you need this kind of breakthrough. This is why we're praying and fasting. And if we lose a bit of weight along the way, then all I can say is, great. We need a breakthrough. 2 Chronicles 7 verse 14, nearly done. Then he says this, then if my people are called by my name, will humble themselves, that's fast, and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and what? Restore their land. Fasting and prayer. Prayer and fasting can bring revival and change and a change of direction in our lives, our church, and in our country. It also can rekindle our love for Jesus Christ. Fasting is a powerful spiritual tool to make a difference in our lives. And everyone here at Real Life Church, I'm going to say it again because I want you to understand why we're doing this. We're doing it because we need a breakthrough. Nearly finished. Who is the focus of our prayer and fasting? Who's the focus? Almighty God is our focus. Jesus Christ is our focus. It's not people. It's not for show. We're not trying to be holy, super spiritual people here. We're just desperate people. We're just desperate. Desperate enough to pray and go without some food. We're just desperate people who need God more than ever, ever before. That's all it is. Why 21 days? Well, it worked for Daniel. That's all I've got for that. Don't have anything deep in meaning. Let's go. If he can do it, we can go 21 days. Okay, what does fasting look like? Fasting varies from one person to the next. And I don't want us to get religious about this, but most times in the Bible, fasting meant to go without food completely. In the Bible, there's several people, Moses, Elijah, Jesus, who fasted for 40 days without any food at all. That's extraordinarily long. I've got some friends who have done 40 days, but most people can't manage that. I can't manage that. But in our story about Daniel, we read that he did a partial fast. He ate vegetables and he drank water for 21 days. And so, you know, perhaps a partial fast is appealing to you. Some people can manage to go without food completely just for 24 hours, while others may be able to go 3 days or more. If you're a healthy person, you should be able to manage a 3-day fast completely without food. You should be able to manage that. But either way, I just simply encourage you to wisely look for a way in which you can participate in this time of prayer and fasting that works for you. Now, when you do fast, you've got to keep drinking lots of water. Probably most people here don't drink enough water as it is. But when you fast, you should be drinking lots of water. And please, listen to what I'm going to say. I do not support fasting from water. That is very, very dangerous to do. You must drink water. Everybody understood that? I don't anticipate many of us being able to go the entire, I'm not trying to be negative, I'm just being honest. I don't think many of us will be able to go the whole 21 days without any food at all. But you never know, you might be able to do that. God bless you. But we can still stretch ourselves and embrace this season of prayer and fasting. So therefore, you may wish to do a partial fast, as I already mentioned, with soup, vegetables and water, and go the entire 21 days. That would be, I think it's actually really doable for most of us to at least do that. You may want to go without sugar. I've heard people talking about that, and that would be, obviously there's health benefits to that, but that would be a really big deal, going without chocolates, cakes, that sort of thing, and do that for the entire 3 weeks and stick with it. Or number three, you might want to do a full fast, say for, you know, every second day, or, you know, 3 days 1 week, 3 days middle week, and 3 days the final week. You've got to plan. And so this next week, I'm talking about this so you can plan it out to see what works for you and what foods you need to get in, vegetables, whatever. Some people might fast one meal a day for the entire 21 days. They might just have breakfast and dinner and go without lunch, or maybe the other way around. Whatever works for you, but you've got to be engaged. Stretch yourself. Push yourself a little bit so you can get the full benefit out of this season of seeing God. Now, when you do break a fast, this is really important, when you break a fast, even if just of a couple of days, don't jump suddenly into heavy foods. You will mess your stomach up. If you've been fasting, start with soups first and broth and ease your way back into your normal diet. If you've fasted for 2 days, it takes you 2 days to recover to your full meal. You've got to be really smart about these things, amen? So what I've done is in your newsletter and out in the foyer, I've printed off a paper with tips on fasting food, and you might find it really useful as a guide. And also on the back of it, I've also put some prayer points, 21 prayer points. You might want to pray for one of those per day throughout the 21 days. So it's got tips on how to fast food and also prayer points. Now, if you are pregnant, then I counsel you against fasting food. If you suffer from diabetes, you should not fast food. And there's other health concerns people have, and you know you need to perhaps consult your doctor if you're taking medication and stuff like that before you launch into a total fast. You need to be wise about this. Let's not be silly about this. But if you want to participate in our 21 days of prayer and fasting, yet because of health concerns, you can't go without food, then number one, don't feel bad and don't start whipping yourself. That's just not what this is about. It's actually the opposite. But there's other forms of fasting that you can engage in. And you might even want to, for those who can fast without food, you might want to also incorporate these. What about not watching the television for 21 days? What about taking the batteries out of your remote control and hiding it from your wife or whatever? I don't know. Just I don't know why I said that. But 21 days without TV, I'm telling you, that will be just so powerful. Or what about avoiding social media for 21 days? What about putting your phone away when you get home from work at 6 p.m. each day and then spend some time in prayer? See, there's other ways you can participate. But this is what you've got to remember. When you fast, use the time you would normally have used for eating or watching TV as a time to spend with Jesus in prayer. Now, if you're not used to spending a long time in prayer, you know, don't suddenly say, well, I'm going to pray for an hour every single time. Well, you might not be able to do that, but I'm sure you could do at least 10 minutes and build on that. So you miss skipping a meal? Well, go and spend 10 minutes with the Lord, but do it frequently over the 21 days. Everybody understand what I'm saying? Yeah, we're doing this 21 days of prayer and fasting because we're desperate for a breakthrough. Finishing, we will start next Sunday. Sunday will be our first day, everybody. So if I hear some rumbling tummies next week, it will be a wonderful sound. Amen. In addition, so just stay with me. So I've said lots of words, and I appreciate you listening. But just this, we're going. In addition to on next Sunday, we're also going to start a Bible study on the Holy Spirit at 4 p.m. But I want to just to go a little bit further. So during these 3 weeks, starting next week, we start the Bible study at 4 p.m. on the Holy Spirit each Sunday. We'll go for at least 6 weeks. My dad's going to run that. He's pumped and excited. But I'd like to say, because we've got supposed to be doing our first encounter service. What if for those 3 Sundays, after when my father finishes at 5 o'clock, because he's only going to speak for about an hour, do teaching for an hour, what if we linger and have a prayer meeting, encounter service, the 3 Sundays of the 21 days? You know, because I know how it is hard. It's hard to get you all together during the week because you've got work and all that, but Sunday. And you might think, well, I'm not interested in coming to the Bible study. That's okay. Come at 5 o'clock. What if we spend an hour together just praying and seeking God together? What do you reckon, everybody? So in conclusion, I don't like to fast. I seriously like food. I'll be honest with you. I fasted this week because I'm warming myself up. And I hated going without food. I like food a lot. But right now, my desire for a breakthrough is greater than my desire for food. You know, you reach that tipping point where you go, oh, man. And I suspect that what I'm hearing from around the traps here at Real Life Church, that many of you feel exactly like I do. This is our season. This is our time. This is our moment. And that's why we're doing the 21 days of prayer. So all I've got to say in conclusion is, let's just do it. Let's just do it.